You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. Happy New Year's. And thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com post-game wrap-up show. I am your host, Michael Leva, joined as I am each and every week by Tom Ernesty. Tom, how you doing tonight? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I wish it the 2023 countdown was already done to get into 2024, because today is a day I kind of want to forget, outside of the last few hours that I had with family and just nice dinner and everything. But it was not a good 3 hours of football, let's put it that way.
No, week 17 in recent history has not been good to the Miami Dolphins. 2020, they lose 56-26 at the Buffalo Bills, eliminates them from the playoffs. 2021, they lose 34-3 at the Tennessee Titans, eliminates them from the playoffs. 2022, they actually lost last year, week 17. It was a close game, at least. They lost at New England. This year, though, 56-19 at the Ravens. Now, they're already in the playoffs, so that's, I guess, a positive. But week 17 in recent years has been a house of horrors for the Miami Dolphins. And out of all those games, I think this one, even though Miami's in the playoffs, is probably the worst, because those other teams really didn't have expectations. There were not teams that you could say, hey, that's a team that could go in the playoffs, maybe win a couple games, maybe catch a break, get hot, maybe make a run. Those teams didn't have those expectations. This team did. And to go out and get embarrassed, and it was an embarrassing loss, is unfortunate, and we're going to break it all down and talk about it on today's show. But before we get to any of that, as always, a big shout-out to everyone listening at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a big shout-out to our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins fan Facebook group, run by the great and talented Carlos Hernandez. If you're on Facebook, please be sure you are part of the I Am a Miami Dolphins fan Facebook group, and wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Play, Audible, Podbean, Podchaser, you know all the outlets. Subscribe, 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 especially now, especially this week, because this is going to be one of the biggest regular season games in Miami Dolphins recent history, I should say, at least. And you're not going to want to miss an episode, as you're going to want to hear what's going on in the lead up to this week 18 game against the Buffalo Bills. One thing real quick here before I start this show, I want to say this. We get no joy in hosting shows like this after a brutal loss, which today was a brutal loss, but we also aren't going to come on here and insult your intelligence. And if you don't want to hear, you know, bad or not bad, critical things about the team you root for, this probably ain't the show for you. I know after this game, I saw on social media, a lot of fans are in their feelings. A lot of Miami Dolphins fans are really in their feelings, just cursing at other fans, yelling at other fans over why, I don't know. The fans didn't have anything to do with this loss. The players did, the coaches did, the fans did it. So this is a show where I'm telling you right now, Tom and myself are going to be a little critical of some of the players, maybe the head coach. And, you know, we're going to talk about why they lost, how they lost, and what they did wrong. And if you don't want to hear it, I get it. I get it. Because you're going to get hit over the head with this all week from the Colin Cowherds, the Mike Greenbergs, the Chris Mad Dog Russos, Steven. I get it. But this is what this show is. If you're going to talk about the good and the good times, you got to talk about the bad and the bad times. And today was a bad day. Doesn't mean the season's over. Doesn't mean we're calling for anyone to get fired, but that's what this show, unfortunately, is going to be. So, Tom, first, let me get to the injuries before I get to your thoughts. The big news from this game, for those of you who might have stopped watching, Bradley Chubb in absolute garbage time. Why he's on the field, we'll talk about. I don't know. Tore his ACL and is out for the season. They're waiting for an MRI to confirm it, but again, non-contact injury, taken off the field in the cart. You ain't got to be Scooby-Doo to solve this mystery. And there's multiple reports from very credible reporters saying it's like 99% a torn ACL. His season's over. The start of next season is probably in jeopardy too, as that's a 9 to 10 month injury, which will lead into 2024 season. Raheem Mostert, that shin injury kept him out of this game. Hopefully can play next week. We'll see. Don't know. So no Raheem Mostert today. Robert Hunt was trending towards maybe playing this week, was also out. Maybe next week. We'll see. I don't know. And Jalen Waddle, no surprise, he was announced earlier that he was not going to play. He was out. And Ian Rappaport on Sunday morning said, don't expect to see Jalen Waddle to the first game of the playoffs. So, well, there's a big game next week versus the Bills. Do not expect to see Jalen Waddle out on the field. So that's the injury news. Tom, the floor is yours. Whatever you want to get off your chest, go for it. Do not let me stop you.
Okay. So let me start first with the Bradley Chubb part. I'm going to skip ahead to that before I move back in time to talk about the game. Number one, it was a 30-point deficit. And the starting defense was still on the field. Now, I understand you're not going to be able to fill every single position with backups. A lot of those guys are special teams. There's a ton of corners that sit on the bench that play special teams, so on and so forth. Bradley Chubb was, unfortunately, I have to use the word was, your best defensive player, in my opinion. And he made a move. I forgot who it was. Was it Bateman or Justice Hill? Whoever it was, caught a ball. He put his foot in the ground. His foot got caught. His knee completely went the other way, and he tore his ACL. And you could hear, you heard it on the boom mic. You heard his anguish. He was in absolute pain. And as soon as I heard that, my jaw hit the floor, and I was at a loss for words. He should never have been in the game. Neither should have Christian Wilkins, Zach Sealer, Javon Holland, Jalen Ramsey. Nobody should have been on that damn football field down 30 points. When you scored the touchdown and you made it a little closer, as soon as Baltimore scored on you again, the football game was over. Tua Tagovailoa, get him off the field. Devon Achane, get him off the field. Tyreek Hill, get him off the field. Armstead, get him out. Everybody should have sat. The game was done. And now we do not have our elite pass rusher for the rest of the season. And God knows when he's going to be able to come back for the 2024 season. Because like you said, Mike, it is a 9 to 10 month recovery, rehab, and everything else. And if you're looking at the calendar, what's 9 months from now? October. It's not just yet, but we're getting close. It's October. He's not playing for the first month of the new season. Now you got to fill the gaps. You got to fill the gaps. And by the way, Andrew Van Ginkel is a free agent. Moving on. Tua was not good in this game. Let's be point blank. And I'm a big Tua homer. I am a huge fan. He was not good. He was great early. And then things fizzled out. It started with the Tyreek Hill drop. And he makes $30 million a year. Tyreek Hill has been phenomenal all season. That dropped pass in the end zone changed everything for this football game. Every single thing. The momentum shifted. They had to kick a field goal. Baltimore goes down to score a touchdown. And then we get into all the other things. The challenge that was foolish. It was a foolish challenge from Mike McDaniel. Whoever tells him to challenge, they need to switch that up. Tua hurrying before the 2 minute warning. And people can tell me till they're blue in the face. It said 2 minutes on the television. It doesn't matter. As soon as the center starts to move the ball back, even if it's 2 minutes, that play is live. That was on him. Baltimore goes down, scores a touchdown. The game at that point is now getting out of control. The defense had no heart. I don't think Vic Fangio had a really good plan in this game because it reminded me of 2019 when Lamar Jackson did this in our house at Hard Rock Stadium. This is a major setback from the success and the adulation that we had last week when they beat the Dallas Cowboys to secure the playoff spot. So now we go into a win and you get the AFC East, or lose and you got to go to Kansas City to play the Chiefs. And I don't care that the Chiefs are vulnerable. They're still very good. They have the best quarterback in football, and they're on their home field where they really haven't lost in the postseason. This was a crushing defeat. Now, it's not done yet. The job is not done. The Dolphins have a game next week. It is a winner-take-all. This game is going to be probably on Sunday Night Football in front of the nation, the only game to close out the regular season against a team that has beaten you 11 out of the last 12 times. I give you the floor, Mike.
Yeah. Boy, I got a lot to say. I don't even know where to start. Like most of Miami's losses this year, there is no shame in losing who they lose to. It's how they lose. And giving up a 50 burger in a big Week 17 game versus a top team in the NFL is embarrassing. There's no shame in losing at Baltimore to the Ravens, arguably the best team in the NFL. It's how they lost to the Ravens. And it stems back to the same problems Miami has had all season. In these big games against very good teams, the best of the best teams, the Dolphins keep running into the same problems. Mike McDaniel with questionable decisions, like not realizing the game is over and keeping Tua, Chubb, Wilkins, Sealer out there late in garbage time, you know, and his answer after the game was just, I wish I had a time machine. Mike, you're getting paid to make decisions in real time. You can't all, he always goes back to the, if I could do it over again. Yeah. Every coach would like that. That's not Captain why hindsight. You make millions and millions of dollars. You got to make decisions in real time. And then Tua, in a big spot on the road, comes up small. I mean, he started off the game hot, but overall, this. And I know Tyreek dropped a touchdown. And I know Chase Claypool dropped a touchdown. Overall, Tua did not play well today. And again, I'm not hating, just stating. And there were positives in this game. I'm not going to say it was a total dumpster fire, although it seems that way from the final score. I thought Devon Achane was fantastic today, stepping up in a larger role for Raheem Mostert. I thought Cedric Wilson and I thought Smythe stepped up with no Waddle in a larger role and played well. I thought Liam Eikenberg showed a lot of guts and played well at center, especially when he had to leave the field for a play. He clearly was in a ton of pain. He got back out there one play. I thought Liam played good. But, yeah, I mean, those are three positives in a 56-19 loss. There really are no other positives. The negatives is pretty much everything on defense. All three levels of defense were awful. They were terrible in coverage. There was no pass rush. The linebackers were just abusing the passing game. Tackling was bad. The game plan was horrific. And on offense, like I said, Tyreek drops a touchdown. Chase Claypool drops a touchdown. And for all, I will say this, not to get ahead to the offseason, because who knows. But with Hill and Waddle, the Dolphins next year would need to be in the market for a number three wide receiver. They just do. Because when one of those guys are out, there's really, I mean, no offense to guys like Smythe, Cedric Wilson won't be here. He redid his contract so he can get out after this year. They got nothing. I mean, there's no depth at wide receiver. And, you know, I know they have a lot of injuries, Miami, but the Ravens played this game without three of their four starters in the secondary. Okay. Two of them were inactive and one of them played one quarter and left. So the Ravens were and they don't have their starting tight end and they got a lot of guys out. Well, they're on like their third string running back. So there's a lot of injuries there. This game was just a failure, specifically from the coaching staff, to not have your team prepared in week 17 when you know so much is on the line. Again, no shame in losing to the Ravens. It's how you lose. And this coaching and this staff did not have the team prepared, didn't have the team ready, and the team didn't execute at all, and they looked lost most of the game. And in week 17, that's alarming. And if you're mad at the Ravens for so-called running it up, boy, are you missing the big picture, Dolphins fans. First off, you put on 70 on a team this year, okay? You had Mike White throwing bombs in the fourth quarter against a team that was dead. So you can't get mad now at the Ravens for putting up a few extra points on you when they're playing to make sure they don't lose the top seed in the AFC. Plus, after you came back like gangbusters last year against them in the fourth quarter. Mind you, that last touchdown, did they have to throw it? No, but I get it. I get it. And one last thing I want to sort of talk on real quick here before we have to go through this game. I know next week's game is big. AFC East. Nobody wants to, you know, nobody wants to lose and get swept again by the Buffalo Bills like we always do. And, of course, you want a home playoff game and you want to win your division. I get it. But I want to remind people this. We judge Mike McDaniel and Tua on playoff success. We did not trade all these picks and give out all these $100 million contracts and surround Tua with all these weapons to just, you know, have a fun regular season, make the playoffs as a sixth seed, and take it from there. They are getting judged on playoff success. So if we're the two seed or the sixth seed, I almost don't care because the week after, we have a playoff game. And if they lose that, I don't care what seed you are, the you know what will hit the fan. They got to win that game after next week. That's what they're judged on, and that's what they're going to be paid off of too. So while today is disappointing, next week's not the final exam by any means because the outcome that we're looking for is 2 weeks from today or from Saturday or Monday, whenever we're playing in the playoffs. And with our luck, it'll probably be the game on Peacock because, you know, it's kind of funny. Today, December 31st, is the four-year anniversary of the firing of Adam Gase. And in many ways, Mike McDaniel is very similar to Adam Gase. He just has more personality, and he's more likable than Adam Gase ever was. Mike McDaniel's hyper-focused on the offense, sometimes is oblivious to what's going on with the rest of the games, like never winning a challenge, just being bad at challenges, not realizing you have starters on defense out there in garbage time and not saying, hey, I'm the head coach of the whole team, not just the offense. I got to get some of these guys off the field. And I'm not saying he's a bad head coach. And I'm not saying he's on the verge of being fired. But today was not good. Let's not sugarcoat this. On all the days Mike McDaniel has been head coach of the offense, this is by far the worst. You know, and once again, you know, he was really bad in a big spot, in a big game late in the year. This is two Decembers in a row where he has not been good. Now, he still has next week to salvage this on some level to win the AFC East. At least he can hang his hat on that. But I think the problem is most Dolphins fans right now, regardless of what happens next week, just going in the playoffs with all the injuries and just seeing this team sort of sputter down the stretch again, just doesn't have a lot of confidence in this team that they're going to make a playoff run. You know, in December, he beat Washington. He beat the Jets. There's nothing to brag about. Blew a 14-point lead to the Titans at home. Gave up 50-plus to the Ravens. And if the Cowboys don't fumble at the one, good Lord, can you imagine what tonight would be like then? And today, just it was coaching malpractice on all levels today. So it is what it is. You lost five of your last six games last year to sneak in as the seventh seed. This year, right now, you've lost three of your last five. If you lose next week to the Bills and you get swept by them again. So he better find a way. Because head coaches are graded by results, period. We can laugh at the jokes, laugh at the press conference. We can like him as a person, and he is a funny and good human being. But at the end of the day, it's about winning. And while the team wins a lot in the regular season, we know that's not the goal. And this team, and him specifically, will be graded on playoff success. And I think next week and the week after, we're going to learn a lot about what Mike McDaniel is and possibly what maybe he isn't. And I hope that's not the case.
I agree. Looking back, that Titans loss now, that imploding on Monday Night Football, this game next week wouldn't have meant anything to the Miami Dolphins.
Rest everybody.
They could have rested everybody against the Bills. This game wouldn't have mattered next week. And that loss is going to be an absolute nightmare for this franchise. If for some reason they fault next week and then have to go on the road to play the Chiefs, it's inexcusable where this team has been, what they've had to overcome. It's, you know, the injuries are piling up at the wrong time, but they overcame a lot of injuries throughout the season and still sit where they sit today. So injuries are not an excuse. This team has the depth. I believe they still have very good coaching. You know, Butch Berry deserves his flowers. I mean, this makeshift offensive line for the last 2 months has been as good as you would hoped. But they got to go out and get it done next week. You know, I'm tired of losing to the Bills. And this being for the division, in when it really shouldn't have been, it sucks. It sucks that this game actually means anything. But we go forward. You know, this is a big game, and I'm sure once this Sunday Night Football game ends, they will announce that the Dolphins and Bills will be the Sunday Night Football game. I would be stunned if it's any other game, because there's no other game with more meaning. Because if the Dolphins,
Jacksonville's the only other game, but that's not a sexy
Dolphins game. If the Dolphins beat the Bills, so here's the scenario: if the Dolphins beat the Bills, they're the 2 seed. If the Steelers and is it the Jaguars? I believe it. Are those the teams? If
Jaguars, I was gonna say, hold on. Let me get it. I have it all right here. One second, I'll give it to you. Where the heck is it? Here it is. General. This is it. All right, here we go. So if the Dolphins, let's start with the simple. If the Dolphins lose, they're at the Chiefs. Period. End of story. If the Miami Dolphins win, Jacksonville wins and Pittsburgh loses, they host the Bills. So that means it's going to be a rematch. If Pittsburgh wins and Jacksonville loses, they would host the Bills again. If Miami wins, if Jacksonville wins and the Steelers win, they host Pittsburgh. If Miami wins, Jacksonville loses, the Steelers lose, and the Broncos. I mean, again, here's the deal. They're either going to play at the Chiefs or they're going to be home against the Bills, home against Pittsburgh, or home against Jacksonville. Those are the only teams they can face in round one. There's a lot of this, this, and that. But it's either home against the Bills, which means you're playing them in back-to-back week, either home against Pittsburgh, which is probably the most favorable matchup, or home against Jacksonville. So we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. But there was a good question here in our chat I want to bring up. Someone asked, and this could be a question that next week this time a lot of people might be asking, from Craig. What happens if the Fins are one and done in the playoffs? Are changes being made? No. Changes will not be made. But, here's the but, and I know some fans are going to like this. Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer go into 2024 as the head coach and general manager on the hottest and hottest of hot seats, only because of everything they have had handed to them, everything that they have around them to not have playoff success. Their leash, let's just say, is very, very short in that they better not get off to a slow start. That's all I'm going to say, because they might not see Columbus Day. They better get off to a quick start next year. So they're not going anywhere. Even if they get blown out by the Bills and blown out in round one, they're both back. The problem is they're both on the hot seat if that happens. If they don't win another game this season, they're on the hot seat, because that's how the NFL works. You win or you don't. And when you trade away all these – first off, Mike McDaniel walked into a situation which very few head coaches do. Teams that came off a 9-10-win season or 10-9-win season, not many head coaches get that luxury. And for him to walk into that situation and not really improve on it is an indictment of him. And for the general manager, it would be like 23, 24 years of no success. So, I mean, granted, at some point he's just got to go. So, yeah, nobody's getting fired over what happens the next 2 weeks or more. But there are consequences for lack of results. That's how this league works.
Yeah, for sure. I don't expect any changes. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to happen in this offseason that is either going to make the fan base happy or
it's going to infuriate.
Sunday Night Football. There we go. So,
no day for Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. God.
It's going to be a long Sunday next week.
Yep. It's going to be a long week. All right, so we're 25 minutes into this show, and we really haven't talked about much of the game yet.
As Mike McDaniel says on Hard Knocks, let's watch the tape. Let's get into the game, because here's the deal. If you're running hide from it, you're just lying to yourselves as fans. It's like we don't have – as fans, you can't take action like the players can, obviously. But let's not run and hide from how bad this was. Because, in some ways, there's nothing to talk about, but in some ways, there's so much to talk about. So let's just let's just talk about the key moments, the key plays, and get through it.
Yeah. So the Dolphins get the ball to begin the game. It starts with a 23-yard screen pass to Devon Achane. Achane goes for a yard. Tyreek Hill with a reception for 12 to the Baltimore 39. An Alec Ingold reception on a slip screen for 18 yards. Devon Achane for 13. Down to the 8-yard line, gets it to third and goal. And Tua finds Cedric Wilson for an 8-yard touchdown. The extra point good. A Dolphins 7-0 lead. Mike, I was ecstatic with the opening drive. I thought the team looked ready to go.
Scripted series of plays come out of the gate, hot as a pistol, converted on third down, got a touchdown. Cedric Wilson steps up, Achane's running up and down the field. I'm like, okay, good start. Let's go. Didn't last long, but okay, it was a good start.
Yeah, Baltimore gets the ball. They go 7 plays, 75 yards in 4 minutes, 21 seconds to answer. It starts with an incomplete pass and a 4-yard run from Gus Edwards. On 3rd and 6, Lamar Jackson goes to Justice Hill for 26 yards. However, offensive pass interference on Isaiah Likely made it 3rd and 16. Lamar Jackson finds Justice Hill on a screen pass for 18 yards and a first down. Then proceeds to hit Zay Flowers on the very next play for 25. After a 4-yard run from Edwards, Rashad Bateman for 14. And then Lamar Jackson, a 20-yard touchdown to Justice Hill. Duke Riley looked all out of sorts trying to figure out how to cover this running back on this drive, Mike, and he did not have a good game.
No, the Dolphins, I don't know what their game plan was on defense. I don't know. I don't know. Just here's the deal on defense. Everybody was bad. I'm not going to single anyone out. Everybody was bad. And Lamar Jackson cemented his MVP championship in this game. It's not a debate. Tua's not going to finish second. Tua's not going to finish third. Tua's not going to finish fourth. Tua's not going to finish fifth. This is Lamar. He was peak Lamar today. He deserves all the flowers thrown his way.
Yep.
And he was great on this opening drive as well.
Yes. Dolphins get the ball, go 6 plays, 65 yards. Opens up with a 16-yard completion to Tyreek Hill. After a Devon Achane run for 45 yards on 1st and 10 from the 43 to the 12-yard line. He loses 3 on the next play, but gets back 7 on 3rd and 6 from the 8. A beautifully designed play that gets Tyreek Hill wide open in the end zone, and he dropped it. He dropped it. I couldn't believe it, and they had to settle for a Jason Sanders 27-yard field goal, 10-7. And as I said at the opening statement, Mike, that play changed everything in this game.
Yeah, Tyreek this year in big games at the Eagles dropped a touchdown. Chiefs game, he had the fumble that was returned for a touchdown. And then this, you need your big-time players to make big-time plays in big-time games. And, again, love Tyreek Hill. Love the trade for Tyreek Hill. Got to call what I see. In big games this year for the Dolphins, Tyreek Hill hasn't been great.
He called it himself. He says as a leader of the team, he wants to – burn the tape and move on from it. He knows he needs to play better. He was upset with himself. So the team exchanged punts and the Ravens get a 10 play 89 yard drive. The big play was 2nd and 8 from the 34. Lamar Jackson finds Odell Beckham Jr. for a 33 yard completion. Miami challenged this play and it was upheld. I mean, it wasn't even close. Odell Beckham had both his feet down. I don't know what McDaniel saw. Gus Edwards finished it on the next play with a 1-yard touchdown run. Another blown challenge here from McDaniel. I don't think it was a lost timeout. It was a lost challenge. It is what it is. Another. But it was the ineptitude of challenges for Mike McDaniel continue. I don't know what they saw. I mean, the ball didn't even bobble as he was going to the ground. So I don't know what he saw there, Mike.
I don't know, you know, this staff. And the staff, for the most part, has had more good than bad this year. They can't figure this part of it out. And it's baffling. Every other team can sort of figure it out. I'm not saying you got to be perfect on challenges, especially with these NFL referees. Nobody is, because you don't know what the heck they're going to do from play to play. But the fact they can't put up an infrastructure in place to sort of have a higher percentage of what they have when it comes to this, once again, it's a reflection of your head coach and nobody else. this, some things are at, you know, his feet, and this is not him. I mean, love of Christ, just figure out how to win a challenge every night. Find out when not to throw it. Find out when to throw it to at least improve your odds. Most people watching this at home off the first replay are like, yeah, it's a catch. And this guy on the, it's like, I'll do the job for free. How about that? I'll sign up. I'll do it for free. 1 year for free. Pay me in year two. Good Lord. Off.
There you go. Dolphins get it at their 31-yard line on the ensuing drive. Go 11 plays, 49 yards. Again, having to settle for a field goal. They get it down inside the 45-yard line. And fourth and five, Tua hit Tyreek Hill on the sideline for a 25-yard completion. I love the play call and at that moment, and it was perfectly executed, unfortunately, on the next three plays. And no gain for Achane and two incomplete passes from Tua, and Jason Sanders is money from 38. I guess another positive takeaway, Mike, is Jason Sanders has been playing very well since the bye week.
Yeah.
I guess we can say that, right?
I mean, we got our kicker back, I guess, but yeah, it is what it is.
Yep. So the field goal was answered on one play. Lamar Jackson hits Zay Flowers, and once again, the defense was completely confused on a wheel route that they practice in their own offense every single day. Don't know how to defend it. I have no explanation for that. 75-yard touchdown pass on the next
week. 17. Week 17. If you're having this mistake week one, two, or three, say, okay, it's early in the season. Got some new pieces out there. Still trying to feel each other out, figure this out. Week 17, folks. Basic football play. Not even a complicated football play. Can't figure it out.
Nope. Dolphins get the ball. They get a great start, a 15-yard run from Devon Achane and a 16-yard completion to Durham Smythe. And as the two-minute warning ticked down, Tua gets the ball snapped to him, and he throws an interception, which was a great play by Roquan Smith. And he returned it 30 yards to the Dolphins' 30-yard line, and it feels like it was slipping away, Mike, because it did. But first, your thoughts on the decision to snap the ball before the two-minute warning.
It's stupid. It's a stupid decision. I ain't going to sugarcoat this tonight, folks. I'm just going to call it like I see it. It's a stupid decision. First off, what are you rushing to score for? So you want to give them the ball back in a game where they're going up and down the field on you and you can't stop them? No, let's try to score and eat up as much clock as we can. That's number one. Number two, I hear some fans say, oh, that's what Mike McDaniel always did. Good. He always does it, and every time he does it, he's wrong. I mean, seriously, let the clock run. You have all your timeouts. Let it run down to a two-minute warning. Let's think about this. This is a big drive before halftime. We're not going to get the ball to start the second half like he usually likes. Let's make sure we got our best play out there. Let's, you know, no, we're going to rush. We're going to rush for some reason. I don't know why. I always say there's a fine line between aggressive and stupid. And this play fell on the stupid side of that line.
I agree. Baltimore goes unbelievably. Four plays, 38 yards. The Dolphins get three consecutive stops. It was fourth and seven from the 35. You have Justin Tucker, but yeah, John Harbaugh. He doesn't care. He sends his offense back out there. Lamar Jackson finds Isaiah Likely over the middle of the field with a one-handed catch, and he just strolls down the sideline for an easy 35-yard touchdown. It's 28-13. Dolphins punted away. Ravens take a knee, and I needed a shot of whiskey at halftime, and that's where we are, Mike.
Yeah, it's 11-14. There's 45 minutes left in the year. I really don't feel like reading ads about having your ball shaved, so here's what we're going to do. Let's start off with CalderaLab.com. Go to Caldera Lab. Men, wash your face. They got the best products when it comes to men's skincare. 1 minute in the morning, 1 minute at night. CalderaLab.com, promo code DolphinsTalk. Save 20% on your order. Start off the new year looking good at the office, out on the town for your wife, significant other, whoever. Caldera Lab, promo code DolphinsTalk. And then if you want to go to Manscaped to shave down below, or if you just want to buy the shampoo and the body wash, which most normal people probably buy, go to Manscaped.com, promo code DolphinsTalk there. Save 20%, get free shipping. Why pay full price for deodorant, body wash, and shampoo when you can go there? They'll send to your house for free, and it's like having a 20% off coupon. And having a 20% off coupon, manscaped.com.
Danny Crossman's fine coaching. Jason Sander kicks off to the 4-yard line, and Justice Hill, who absolutely killed the Dolphins, takes it 78 yards on the opening kickoff of the second half, and it ends on an Isaiah Likely 7-yard touchdown reception, and it's 35-13. The Dolphins punt on their next possession, but Zach Sealer showed up on the defensive possession on 2nd and 8. Gus Edwards went up the middle for 6 yards. Zach Sealer did not give up on the play and stripped the football. It was recovered by Javon Holland, and I felt the Dolphins might have gotten a little bit of jump there. Thoughts on the Sealer play, Mike? The guy has been an absolute steal for this franchise.
Yeah, thank God he's locked up for next year. One of the guys who shows up each and every week gives 100%. Even in the first half when the defense really wasn't playing well, he was tough to block at least. So I give him a lot of credit for what he played, for how he played today. But I guess that's one positive play on defense today, and it's probably the only one.
It was, and I'd like to point out here in the chat in the show, Jordan, do you want to host? Do you want to host? You took my mojo, man. On the very next play, Tua throws an interception intended for Tyreek Hill on a tip pass, again by Roquan Smith. Ends in the hands of Stone, and the Ravens take over on possession. Again, I just feel in that moment, Mike, Tua was just trying to force something because of the score and the way it was getting out of hand. But at the end, it was a bad throw, bad decision. Ravens were plugging the middle of the field in that moment because they knew that's exactly where they wanted to go. And he threw another pick.
So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Let's say Miami does not win a playoff game, or they win one playoff game and it just won, then they're out the next round.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving Tua a $450 million contract. That's what he's going to get.
I don't want to go that high with the contract, but
you want to get 325?
It's more manageable. There's got to be a lot of guarantee. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, yes, I want Tua. Tua is probably going to end up being the quarterback here for the long term. That's what it seems like. I think his play has warranted it for majority of the season. Yes, he's had his bad moments. Every quarterback has their bad moments. I think it's going to be a smart deal for the team and him. Obviously, he's not going into next season on a 1-year, the fifth year option. The team will extend him because it gives some cap relief. At the same time, it'll give him his money. Because at the end of the day, he worked his ass off. He's been healthy. That was the big knock on him this season, is staying healthy. He's been healthy. He's had big moments. He's had bad moments. But for me, yes, he's going to be here next year.
Here's the reality of this, and I don't know how it's going to play out. From the Miami Dolphins side, they're going to want to pay him like the Giants paid Jones, which nice money, not earth-shattering money. Just nice. It's a nice, solid contract for an NFL starter. Tua and his side are going to look at Joe Burrow and Herbert and be like, we want to be in that category. And it's going to be interesting if the Dolphins cave and say, okay. Or if they're like, Joe Burrow is a little bit better. I know people don't like Herbert and all this stuff, but, you know, there's other factors outside of just wins and losses there. That will be the debate. Does he get a deal closer to Daniel Jones, or does he get a deal closer to Herbert, Joe Burrow, and Hurts? And each side's got a valid case to make.
The
big change agencies, and Tua has a pit bull of an agent. He's got the same guy Watson had, who, you know, fleeced the Browns. They're not, you know, I know Josh Moser thinks that Tua might give the Dolphins a hometown discount. I'm in the other side. I think there's no chance in hell after the Dolphins try to move on from him multiple times that he's going to give anybody a hometown discount. I just don't think that's going to happen. That's going to be an interesting offseason thing, which I know we still have games.
It's not,
you have next week.
No, it's not the offseason yet, but this comment
these
popped
next
up
two
in
weeks
the section.
Go a long way.
From
two
David,
weeks go a long
from
way.
David, he says, if we pay Tua, say bye to Waddle, that is not true.
No.
Waddle's fifth year is going to get picked up.
Exactly. It's a lot of time. A lot of time before you do anything with Waddle. But these next two games are going to go a long way for Tua to decide if he's closer to the Herbert Joe Burrow side or if he's closer to the Daniel Jones side. As I always say, results matter.
Yeah. Oh, God. We're almost done with the game, guys. We're almost done with the game. So after the two interception, Ravens go three and out. The Dolphins get a touchdown on a 14-play, 78-yard drive. That had a 4th-and-4 picked up from the Baltimore 23 on a 6-yard completion of Berrios. Then Jeff Wilson goes for 15. He goes for a yard on 3rd-and-goal from the 1. Tua to Devon Achane in the end zone for a touchdown. They went for 2 and did not get it. It was the wrong time to go for 2. Basic math tells you, you score a touchdown, kick the extra point. You score another touchdown, you kick the extra point because you want that last play, that last potential touchdown to be for 2. If you keep them at 35, which obviously they didn't, but if you keep them at 35 and you're down, you know, you're down 16 points at that point, you're down 15, then you're down 8. I don't understand the decision to go for 2, Mike.
Well, it's these young coaches who are slaves to the chart, the infamous chart. The chart tells me go for 2, so I got to go for 2. God forbid anyone use a brain anymore. It's the chart says so, I must do it. Stupid. It makes no sense. Again, I think the chart was put together by Brandon Staley. What the hell does he know? He just got fired because he made all these stupid mistakes. I mean, just common sense. I'd rather be down 15. You have to think all the time with any decision. You know, you have to think worst case scenario. If this doesn't work, where am I left sitting? On a long field goal. Yeah, of course you want your guy to make it. And you have faith he's going to make it. But what if he doesn't? I'm giving him the ball to 45 or whatever. Okay. On a 4th-and-5 here, I have confidence they're going to make. But what if I don't? I'm giving them the ball here at this yard line with this much time left. And something like this. Okay, sure. If you make it, you're down 14. That's great. But what not? Now you're down 16. So now not only do you have to score twice, now you got to convert 2 2-point conversions where I'm down by a couple touchdowns anyways. Let me kick the stinking extra point. And then I only got to worry about 1 2-point conversion. And if I get back in the game that close where it matters, I'm happy as hell. You're just making your uphill climb even harder. It blows my mind. But they're slaves to the chart. The chart says so. Okay, chart says so.
Ravens go 7 plays, 75 yards, score another touchdown to go 42-19. At this point, the game's over, right? You're in the 4th quarter. The Dolphins turn it over on downs on 4 consecutive plays. And then the worst possible scenarios continue to happen to this team. Ravens score another touchdown to go up 49-19. The Dolphins fumble on their first play. Chris Brooks couldn't take a pitch from Mike White. And then the big injury happens. Bradley Chubb on the ensuing drive where the Ravens score another touchdown to go 56-19. Chubb was injured and for all accounts looks like it is his ACL and he is done for the season. That is a massive blow to a defense up until today for the last 2.5 months has been one of the best in the NFL. So
here's the other concern too. This isn't Bradley Chubb's first major injury.
He had one.
You have to wonder if he comes back from this one the same, if he's ever the same guy again. He'll be 28 next June in the middle of his rehab. He tore his ACL in 2019. He's had a lot of injuries. He had an ankle surgery in 2021. You have to wonder, you know, how many injuries this guy can come back from and be the same player. And you're already going to have to see Jalen Phillips coming back from a major injury as well on the other side, how, you know, how he comes along and how quickly he gets back to his old form, if he gets back to his old form. Some of these times, I mean, for a guy whose game is based on speed with Jalen Phillips, you hope he can come back and be the same guy he was. There's no guarantee of that. And for Chubb, it's a lot of ACL injuries, a lot. So, again, head coach, man, you're not just the head coach of the offense. You're the head coach of the team. Look at the score. Look at the clock. Look at your team out there. No, next week's game is going to be big. We got the playoffs in 2 weeks. And why are some of these guys – I was tweeting about this in the middle of the third quarter, saying if we don't score here and they come back and score, get Mike White out there. The game's over. You got to know when to wave the white flag, especially as you get closer to the playoffs. You got to live to play another day. I didn't go to Yale, and I'm sitting on my fat ass in Syracuse, and I know this. The fact this guy's on the sideline 2 feet away from the players, and he couldn't figure this out, really is concerning. I mean, good. This is football 101. You don't need to learn it. You don't need, he's just a second-year head coach. Come on, guy's been in the NFL for 20 years. Some of this stuff should just be second nature. And I'm sure Mike McDaniel's not going to sleep well tonight knowing not just he's without Chubb the rest of the year. Guys get hurt, part of the game. But it's a senseless injury in that he should not have been out there in garbage time. He's just too important. I mean, some guys are just too important, and he shouldn't have been out there. So, yeah. It is what it is. Again, actions have consequences in this league.
Yep. Consequences. Team stats. Ravens 24 first downs, Dolphins 20. Third down efficiency, Dolphins 6 for 15. The Ravens 4 for 7. 7 third downs is all they had in this game. 7. Dolphins are 2 for 4 on fourth down. Ravens 1 for 1.
Offensive genius.
Miami ran 66 plays for 375 yards on 12 drives, 5.7 yards per play. The Ravens had 55 total plays. 55. 491 yards of offense on 13 total drives. And two drives being kneel downs, mind you. One at the end of the half, one at the end of the game. 8.9 yards per play. Quarterback play. Tua Tagovailoa was 22 of 38 for 237 yards, 6.2 average, two touchdowns, two interceptions, sacked three times, QBR of 46.4, and a quarterback rating of 71.9, which I believe is his lowest of the season. Ravens, Lamar Jackson, 18 of 21. 321 yards at 15.3 yards per attempt, 5 touchdowns. His QBR 96, and his quarterback rating was a perfect 158.3. Two times in his career with a perfect quarterback rating against the Miami Dolphins. Absolutely mind-blowing stuff. Rushing 25 carries for 154 yards for the Dolphins at 6.2 yards per carry. Devon Achane, great game. And they fed him. They fed him in this game, and he held up. So they, if Mostert can't go next week, I expect a full Devon Achane show against Buffalo. The Ravens had 32 rushes for 160 yards, 5 yards per attempt. In the red zone, Miami went three times. They scored two touchdowns. The Ravens were 5 for 5. Miami had 3 turnovers to Baltimore's 1, and time of possession was equal, just about. Ravens 30-23, Miami 29-37. But you got to give a game ball away, Mike.
How many first downs did they have, Miami, which you said?
They had 20.
Okay, yeah, okay. So I said they had 7. Okay, yeah. Game ball. I mean, ain't going to be nobody on defense. We know that. It's probably got to be Achane just for the game he had. He was one of the lone bright spots. I mean, there's really only 2 players, I think. He's one of them. 170 yards, 7.6 yards a carry. He caught for a touchdown pass, 30 yards. I'll give it to Achane. Nice game from him. Stepped up. And, well, first, who gets your game ball time?
I agree with you. I mean, Achane was really the only guy that showed
Smythe
up.
Smythe would be the other guy. Smythe had a good day.
Smythe had a good day. He's had a good month. He's had a
good month, actually, for sure. Here's what I want to bring up. The calendar year 2023. So that's last year's last regular season game, the playoff game, and every game this year. What would you say are the two most important games of the calendar year 2023?
The two most important games of 2023.
In the calendar year.
In the calendar year, well, the if you're speaking obviously specifically of the Miami Dolphins, I think the first one that really pops off to me was the loss against the Chiefs in Germany.
No, it's a playoff game. Oh, obviously. Okay.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about
no. In the calendar year of 2023. It's the playoff game and today, I think. Two most important games.
Yeah.
Who didn't play in both of those games?
Raheem Mostert.
There you go. That's why you guys weren't making $2 million. Great player. He's had a great season. Two most important games. He's not available.
Well, that, hopefully
I mean, 21 touchdowns. I know. Kudos. You want to give him team offensive MVP. You can do all that stuff. But, you know, when the chips are down, your two most important games of the last 365 days, he ain't on the field.
Yeah.
Something to be said for that.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, he's not on the field.
I know. He's not on the field. He's been healthy for the most part this season. Obviously, he missed a game. He missed the playoff game last year. He missed this game today. That injury against Dallas obviously was kind of fluky. Unfortunate that he did get hurt because he has been such an integral part of the offense. So I don't want to throw too much shade at the guy. He's been such a good player for the Dolphins. As much as I was one pounding the table for a running back all off season, he needs his flowers. Now, if anything,
I'm happy with him at $2 million. That's my point.
Oh, they'll probably have to give him like a year extension because I don't think he's going to play on a year contract. Anyway, we move on. So next week, Sunday Night Football official, Miami hosting the Buffalo Bills for the AFC East. The Dolphins with a chance to lock up the 2 seed and their first division crown since 2008, and a potential opportunity to knock the Buffalo Bills out of the playoffs if 2 games go the right way earlier in the day. The Bills might be playing for their season, essentially. So this is a huge game, Mike.
Can you imagine the Bills? From their perspective, if they win, everyone had them for dead. They could end up the 2 seed in the AFC. Everyone had them for dead.
Yep.
They were down 3 games on December 1st inside the AFC East. If they win next week, they're the 2 seed in the AFC. And a tweet here from Barry Jackson. Let me see if I can find it real quick. If the Dolphins were to lose, which is an if, you know, they haven't lost yet, if their road to the Super Bowl would be set as a 6 seed, would be Kansas City round 1, Ravens round 2, the Bills round 3, all on the road. That's your road if you don't win next week. Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, all on the road. So if you're the Dolphins, I think we'll see Robert Hunt out there, I would hope. I think we'll see Mostert in some capacity. He might not get a full workload. I think we'll see him in some capacity, hopefully. Austin Jackson didn't seem to injure himself today. Xavien Howard, I didn't mention his injury. It didn't look good. I don't have any more information on that. We might not have it till tomorrow afternoon when Mike McDaniel speaks to the media. That didn't look good, though, when he had his shoe off and he was taken off the field in the cart. We know no Chubb. We know no Waddle. And probably no Howard unless there's a miracle.
Jerome Baker's practice window probably opens this week too.
It opens, yeah. So we'll see about that, how he's doing. But yeah, this is a game where, again, you're going to learn a lot about your head coach and your quarterback next week and the week after in the playoffs. And how about Emmanuel Ogba? Healthy scratch and he runs the social media complaints. Not really complains, just sort of LOL, wow, or wow, whatever it was. Well, now guess what? Chubb's out. And now Melvin Ingram, who's been with the team for a hefty 3 weeks, and Ogba now are going to be asked to be in a much, much larger role. Channing Tindall might come off the milk carton and have to play, actually, and actually earn a paycheck. It's going to be interesting how they sort of put something together here to replace Chubb, because Ingram, I like. The problem is he's probably, just because he's hasn't played much at all this year, he's probably only good for a few snaps a game before he's gassed. Agba's going to have to step up in a larger role, but it seems like he's not a happy camper right now. So this is it's so funny how the world works. I cannot believe we're in this situation. I'm absolutely stunned.
Yep.
We're in the situation after what, you know, that loss to the Titans, man. Oh, those final 4 minutes against the Titans are really going to haunt this franchise. It really is.
There ain't no way there's a Patriots fan in our chat right now talking.
Let them. Who cares? 24 minutes until Ryan Seacrest counts backwards from 10, and then everyone can go to bed. But yeah, so here's the deal. We'll have shows all week. We'll keep you updated on all the injuries, more about the Howard and Mostert injuries and stuff like that. Holland came back today, played. That's a good sign. Is what it is. Here's the thing about the Bills. They haven't looked good the past few weeks. They probably should have lost to the Chargers, and they played a bad Patriots team today, and the game went somewhat down to the wire. They haven't played good. I will say this about the Bills. It just seems like, was like 11 out of 12 times, you said? Every time they play Miami, it's like a light goes off. They see the logo, and they play their A game against us. That's been the issue. And you know, they got their injury issues as well. But
Josh Allen got dinged up at the end of the game.
Yeah. So
it was a close game there, but he took a vicious shot and he said that his shoulder's hurting. So I guess that's something to monitor. He's playing, I mean, regardless, but unless his arm is completely falling off his body, he's going to play next week. But that's something to monitor as well.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting week. And go Dolphins? I don't know. I mean, it's just, I don't even know how to end the show. It's just, I'm just so frustrated. Once again, no shame in losing to the Ravens. It's how you lose. And in every one of these quote-unquote big games, sure, they beat the Cowboys. And yes, that is a big game. And it's a nice win. I'm not going to, you know, not count that as a nice win. It was a nice win, but that's literally our best win all year. And these other games, they just don't show up. And I don't know what's happening all week. Hard Knocks will be interesting on Tuesday, that's for sure.
Yes, I'm actually excited to see what happens on Hard Knocks. I'd like to see the
Chubb part's going to be heartbreaking again. The part with Chubb's going to be heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's going to
like. And thankfully, it'll probably only be the final 5-10 minutes because it happened so late in the game. And I hope they didn't spend all week with him in the lead up to this game. That would just make this even more. Oh, my God. Yeah, so here's the deal. Happy New Year's, everybody. It's only football. We got the Bills. Got a chance to exercise some demons. Got a chance to maybe knock them out of the playoffs even. And look. The Dolphins put themselves in a situation. They're here. They got to win. Even if they don't win, as I said, the goal isn't regular season success. It's postseason success. They would go to Kansas City, who hasn't looked great. And we know what the assignment is if you're Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins. Win your AFC East champs, something they haven't done since 08, and you get a home playoff game. And they're much better at home on the road, clearly. Lose, and, you know – on to Arrowhead.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Oh, God. Oh, God. All right. Well, everyone, enjoy the rest of your 2023. If you're on the East Coast, it's about 21 more minutes to go before we turn the calendar over to 2024. And, yeah, I think I might drink this whole thing just to drown my sorrows from a Dolphins.
Go for it.
I'm just kidding.
Go for it.
No, I got kids to take care of. I can't do it. I got kids, man. I can't do that. But I want to thank everybody.
Who's the wrestler with a shirt that said, I got kids? Who is that guy? Heath Slater.
I got kids.
I
want to thank everyone for a phenomenal 2023. especially for us at Dolphins Talk. We appreciate everybody who's subscribed to the channel, listens to the podcast, goes to the website. It is greatly appreciated, and we look forward to hopefully a successful start to 2024. And we're going to have shows for you each and every day this week leading up to the big game on Sunday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills.
If you thought this post-game show was depressing, next week if we lose, good Lord. it's going to be let's try to think positive. It's a home game. They're going to win. They're going to come through. Tua plays better at home. The whole thing. Everyone have a happy New Year. Everyone have a safe New Year's Eve. If you're going to be on the road after listening to this, have a safe New Year's Eve. And folks, don't forget, when you're on the road tonight, driving home from whatever bar or party you're at, we must put an end to highway profanity.
Fins up.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.